Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Rich Corey Yanks podcast with Rich and Dill. I am Rich in Florida, and back with us after a week off is Dill up in New York. What's the weather like in New York, Dylan?
60 degrees and rainy.
Beautiful. Well, temperature-wise is good. Rainy. Good thing the Yankees are on the road then. So maybe we'll get this game in today. Anyway, welcome back, guys. Yankees are on fire. The Yankees are playing fantastic. And we'll get all to that in just a minute. Season 5, Episode 3, number 117 of the show. Your audio for today is Stanton. Nice conversation with Meredith before a game a couple days ago. And Nick Swisher bringing his usual energy to the Bronx. So I gave you a little bit of that audio, too. Let's get into the roster news real quick. And just breaking yesterday, John Birdie, our acquisition, starting third baseman until DJ comes back, goes to the IL. So you're going to see a lot more swapping around in the if. Well, I guess not really swapping. You're going to see Ozzy at third base, which I don't know, Dylan, before I go off on a tangent, I would have thought with his hot start, he was going to be playing a lot more anyway, but it seems like once Birdie got over here, he was relegated to the bench. But the Yankees signed Rougned Odor, a familiar face, to an MLB contract. He has an opt-out on July 1st. Basically, I'm assuming if he can't get called up by July 1st, he can go sign with another team, hopefully on an MLB roster. DJ LeMahieu is playing catch. He has said yesterday, Boone said yesterday, that he's looking for a rehab start this coming week. So he'll start doing some rehab games. So it looks like he's rounding the corner and we could be seeing DJ for the first time this year back. Tommy Kahnle is throwing bullpens, expected for a rehab start in the next week or two as well. So he looks like he's getting close. Oswaldo Peraza also throwing, doing some. I don't know what they do, Dylan. They throw the ball, they jump around, jumping jacks, whatever they do. But he's looking for a rehab start too. So those three, before the end of April, you would assume would all be back. Then you got Gerrit Cole, who is throwing. I've never seen more interest in somebody playing catch in my life, but Gerrit Cole is playing catch and throwing off flat ground. He's still slated for a June return. So then you got Trevino, also midseason, and Scott Efros midseason. So that's the injuries. But let's start with, before we get to the hot start, looks like DJ is getting close to coming back. Dylan, what do you think you do? Do you plug him right into the starting lineup, or do you ease him in off the bench? Or their third baseman has been probably their hottest player besides Soto this year.
Yeah, considering that he is at such a hot start, maybe you phase him in slowly, ramp him back up a bit. Because I mean, we're also going to put him, Volpe's doing good. I guess you could take Labor out every now and then.
Maybe bring him. I agree. Maybe bring him in, let him play third one day, take a day off, play second one day, give Labor a day off. Yeah. This way everybody still stays hot and gets in there until for a week or two, until he gets his feet wet. And then maybe, you know, Oz cools off a little bit and it makes your decision for you. So, but listen, I got to tell you, the lineup is on fire right now. Everybody's doing work besides the catchers, I would say, which is fine. But if Volpe could hit like this, obviously, and you know the other guys can stay hot, It's a scary lineup. And to add DJ to it is even crazier because you just push everybody up the line. I'd say our only disappointing offensive player this year probably be a little bit would be Torres, right?
Yeah.
Struggling.
And no, Judge. Just a little bit. Judge is struggling.
Everyone says that because he's not, you know, he's got some home runs, though. It's not like he's completely null and void. He's come up big in some big spots.
But he's batting in the ones.
But we know that's not going to last. We know it's not going to last. He's going to hit. And everyone's using the built-in excuse that, remember, he didn't play the last 2.5 weeks of the spring. So this is literally his last 2.5 weeks of spring training right now. So
he's batting 204.
You know what, though? I would be worried with Judge if I saw him striking out constantly and swinging that bad pitch, those small breaking balls. And he is doing it a little bit, but not like he was when he's really struggling. When he's really struggling, you can see him. He's a farmer. He's swinging his shit in the dirt like Stanton does when they're going bad. When that's not the case, he's getting under balls. He's just not squaring balls up. He's making contact. I think Judge will be fine. Listen, I will tell you, everyone loves Juan Soto. He's been great. The one thing that I'm more impressed with than the at-bats, the power, anything else, is he seems to have an energy to him that is rubbing off on the rest of the squad. He wants to play every day. He wants to battle every single at-bat. He doesn't take a play off. And that seems to be rubbing off on the rest of the guys. Because I let me tell you, you know the Yankees. If Soto's not on this team, Judge has probably had 3 rest days already. You know, Torres has probably benched. Boone's probably changed the lineup 87 times. It seems with Soto in there, he's just like, let's go, boys. Let's get to work. And that's
the
thing.
It's like a rejuvenation. Yeah,
it really is. And that's the thing that I didn't expect with him coming over. I know we'd get good at bats and I know we'd get good offense, but the fact that he seems to be rubbing off mentally on the rest of the squad is really impressive. So even when guys are slumping, it's like they almost feel like, hey, we got to step it up. Look at Soto. Because the guy plays every day. The guy bangs into a wall, he gets up and plays. The guy hurts his leg, he gets up and plays. So that's the part that's been most impressive. But I don't know, Don, what do you think? So let's talk about it. The hot start, we've won every series so far. We're recording this on Sunday, so we just swept the doubleheader with Cleveland yesterday, guaranteeing us another series win, even if we lose today. Hottest start that I can remember in a long time. What about you?
Yeah, and it's crazy with, you know, our ace being out, that we're still managing to do this. I thought we'd be struggling pitching wise, but it hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, that's even, it's a good point. It's a great point, actually. We haven't even had the best pitcher in the American League all year, and we're still winning games. I think me and you talked about this. We thought the starting rotation would be okay. We thought the bullpen would be great, which they have been for the most part. The Yankees seem to be, pitching wise, they seem to just figure it out. They seem to have guys that are okay. And with that lineup, you should win games. I mean, one through six, that lineup is fucking scary. It's really scary. It really is. Like when you think about it, like I'm watching a game and usually you know, they'll preview the next half inning. They're like, don't go anywhere. Judge, Soto, so-and-so coming up next. But it's every time I think you're done past that meat of the order, it's like, oh shit, here comes Rizzo. He's dangerous. Here comes Glaber. He's dangerous. Austin Wells can hit the ball out anytime he wants, even though he's not very hot yet. But in Volpe, like, I mean, they're Volpe at the leadoff spot and he's hitting the way he is, that makes him 1-7 pretty fierce. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I get like this because the Yankees have struggled for the last few years. So with the hot start, I'm happy. I always just want to win series. Give me 2 out of every 3. I'll take it. I don't want to get too super excited because as fast as you can hit a winning streak, as fast as you can hit a losing streak. And in April, it's so early. It's so early. But I'm very optimistic so far. You know, Cole comes back. If he comes back in June, that's like adding the best free agent or the best trade that you could make in June. That would be great. I'm very impressed with Rodon so far. He seems to be throwing the ball really hard. His velocity is up. I still worry about his accuracy. He seems to leave some meatballs over the middle of the plate. And if he doesn't get it up to 97, they can get taken out. Nestor looks like he's rounding back into form, which I was very worried about. Now, again, it's weird because we've gone against really good teams, and then we've thrown some mediocre teams in the middle there, so like the Marlins. So it's like it's good timing, I guess, to play 2 good, tough teams with Houston and Arizona and then play the Marlins to kind of level off a little bit. But we'll see. I think we got – what do we got? We got one more with the Guardians, then Toronto for 3. And then we come home for the stadium with the Rays. So overall, what do you say, Don? They look good so far, right?
They do. They look good. The only thing that, like you said, is injury wise. I feel like a lot of injuries kind of everywhere. John Birdie goes down. You know, not that he was a huge player in the lineup, but you know, we can't get a season with no injuries. Is what I'm saying.
It's they say he's probably, you know, just 2 weeks, but I don't know. Injuries seem to be the big conversation, and I guess we can bounce into that. The big controversy with starting pitchers, everyone's saying, and I'll let you answer first before I give you my opinion, but the big controversy is the pitch clock affecting starting pitching? And that's why there's so many injuries to starting pitching. What do you think?
I could see why it would. But personally, I don't think so. I actually saw the clip yesterday with Jeff McNeil. Did you see that clip?
I didn't. No.
It was Angel Hernandez umping behind
home. Oh my God. Know, we'll talk about Angel in a minute. Yeah.
As we love. And then, he was asking him like if he had a timeout. And then Angel Hernandez signaled for timeout. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and then he started arguing with him, and he's like, all right, timeout's over. You get back in the box. So that made me giggle.
But we're gonna talk about Angel in a second here. But as far as the pitching is concerned, I got a buddy whose son is on a travel team, a competitive travel team, not like a little league team, like a competitive team. And he's, you know, I think they're, I don't know, 12 years old, whatever they are. He said they faced a kid last week throwing 82 miles an hour at 12 years old. That's why people are hurting their arms. You got kids at 12 years old throwing 80 miles an hour and throwing ungodly breaking stuff, having Tommy John in middle school. That's Tommy John in middle school and high school. That's why these people are hurt. They're hurt because I heard Jeff Nelson talking about this the other day during the broadcast. And Jeff Nelson, who I want to get to commentators too, remind me to go back to that. But he had said that in his entire major league career, and I think it was crazy, it was like 15 years or something like that, he knew one player that he played with that had Tommy John. One player that had Tommy John in 15 years. And now everybody has Tommy John. They look forward to having Tommy John surgery. I mean, if we can't see that that's the problem, not the pitch clock, watch an older game. I watch these Yankee Classic games all the time. I'll have them on in the background from the 70s and 80s. And the guys are routinely throwing the ball in less than 10 seconds. Less than 10 seconds. They get the ball back, they throw the ball. They get the ball back, they throw the ball. There was no pitch clock. They just throw the ball. That's what it is. And they weren't having Tommy John surgery. They're having Tommy, but also back then, there was maybe one guy in each team that could hit the high 90s. Now, every single pitcher on your roster throws 100 miles an hour. Every single one. They bring 100 mile an hour. Every single guy is high 90s, low 100s out of the bullpen. That's why you're throwing your arm out. You look at a slow motion of a guy throwing 100 miles an arm. It looks violent. It looks like a horror film.
The way the arm is whipping.
And then they throw all off season now. You know, you hear these old pitchers talk about, I didn't pick up a baseball until like 2 weeks before spring training. And you hear older pitchers say, even from the 90s, from those Yankees 90s teams, Jeff Nelson said, I didn't step on a mound from the last day of the season until the first day of spring training. He said, I might have thrown or played long toss or had a catcher or something like that. I did not step foot on a mound. These pitchers now take 2 weeks off and they're back to a throwing program every day, year round. It's a year round business. So they're putting double the miles on their arms. That's why they're hurting their arms. It's very basic to me. But let's talk about the umpires here. We saw what happened with Angel, our new favorite umpire. Used to be Cowboy Joe West. I don't know.
He's enjoying retirement right now.
Jesus, I hope so. I hope he's choking on a chicken bone right now. I got to be honest with you. I think the easy solution is the robot ump behind home plate. That will eliminate almost all the issues that we have with umpires. The only thing that they're still in control of that we can't replay is the strike zone. Now, if you watch a minor league game, I don't know how much minor league you watch, but they have the challenge system in place. It takes literally 3 seconds. They tap the top of their helmet if they want to challenge the strike call. The umpire turns and looks up, and they give them a green or a red for the challenge, and it takes 3 seconds. You get X amount of challenges a game. That fixes the problem right there to a certain extent. You don't even need that. The technology is there. In the minor leagues, they're looking up to a guy in the booth because they have cameras around the box of strike zone that tells them if it's a strike or not. So within 3 seconds, they can tell you. That just tells you that you can take the umpire from behind home plate. Number one, it gets rid of them safety-wise. They won't be get hit in the face with any bats and balls anymore. Mm-hmm. You can put him upstairs or off to the side, and he can be – actually, The only thing you really need him there for is check swings. Did he swing or did he not swing? So take him where he can actually see from behind home plate and put him off to the side near the batter's box and let him be there just for balls and strikes. Get him a nice comfy chair and let him just sit there. Because really, that's all you need him for. You can literally have a green and red strike zone. You can have, just like you have the pitch clock behind the pitcher, you can have balls and strikes counters right there, which will automatically update and tell you if it was a ball or a strike. It's there. The technology is there. We're just being stupid now. There's no reason. That's the only thing that we're arguing about. And it's awful. It's not just Angel Hernandez. Watch these games. I mean, how do they not think that we're going to see it? There's a little computerized box that tells us in real time the pitch, the speed, and whether it was a strike and ball. If Indiana TV has the technology to put this up there, why can't the MLB have it? It's ridiculous that we still go through this. We don't need umpires anymore. I'm sorry to say it, guys. We don't need them. I love the fights, and I love the arguing, and it's fun to see a manager get thrown out sometimes. But Juan Soto, just look at his face. He'll tell you if it's a ball or strike. You don't need the ump. He'll shake his head. Nope, that's a ball. That's a strike. These guys are smart enough to know, and we should respect the players enough. Guys like a Juan Soto, whose eyes are so good that they can tell you if a pitch is a millimeter off the plate or not. We're doing them a disservice by letting another guy standing behind a catcher, crouching behind the batter and the catcher, try to call these pitches. It's ridiculous and it's stupid, and we should just get rid of it. Baseball just needs to get rid of it. You don't need umpires on the field at all. You really don't. Everything can be done from up top. Now, I understand there's a union and they're going to try to protect jobs. I get all of that, blah, 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 blah. If you really want to keep the jobs and you want to do that, fine. Put all four of those fat asses up in the booth and let them sit there and collect a paycheck and phase them out little by little. But you don't need it. Two umps, maybe. Maybe you put one guy in the field as a communicator where he's not even calling stuff. He's literally just communicating from up top. And you put a second ump up top and he controls everything from the video boards right there.
I like that idea.
That's it. That's all you need. Angel fucking Hernandez. The worst is that he's cocky. Oh, we didn't talk about the Johnny Lasagna injury either, because that's who he had the issue with. No, it wasn't Johnny. It was Luis Gil, I think, he had the issue with. And you could hear during the broadcast where he stepped off the mound and kind of showed up Angel Hernandez, and the broadcasters, Michael Kay, and them go, well, you don't want to do that to Angel Hernandez. And sure enough, seven straight balls called after that. So now we have to deal with the guy's ego. Not just calling balls and strikes. We have to deal with this fucking jerk-offs. Anyway, it is what it is. So what do you think about Johnny? Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you want to say about commentators?
Oh, this is the other thing. So I live here in Florida, so I get the MLB package. The games get blacked out. I can't watch when they play the Marlins or when they play the Rays. I have to watch the Marlins feed or I have to watch the Rays feed if I want to watch it. So a lot of times I'll put on the game and I'll put the radio broadcast on. But the other day I had the Marlins feed on and Jeff Nelson's doing the game for the Marlins. And, you know, I see the breaks, the commercial breaks in between. And I guess he's a regular commentator for them. And it kind of irritated me for some reason. I'm like, well, why this guy this week is doing a game for the Marlins and next week he's doing a game for the Yankees. And the way he was calling the Marlins game is like he was a Marlin. He's like, oh, and it was against the Yankees. And he's like, oh, yeah, we need to get that pitch. We need to get to this Yankee bullpen and blah, blah, blah. And a week later, he's calling the game for the Yankees. Oh, yeah, we need to get to that Cleveland bullpen. I was like, wait a minute. What the fuck is going on? Like, I understand that you can call the game objectively, but we have like 87 broadcasters, don't we? I don't even know how many. We have 87. We need to bring in Jeff Nelson.
We just added Nick Swisher.
What the fuck is going on? Joe Girardi's back now. Let's go through it. We have Michael Kay, John Flaherty, David Cone, Paul O'Neill, Jeff Nelson, Nick Swisher. Who am I forgetting? Justin Shackle.
Yep.
I'm at 7 or 8 right now. We need Jeff Nelson to be calling games for whatever team will pay him a buck. I mean, if you're going to call it objectively, I get it. If you're going to be Bob Costas and just call the game, that's okay to me. I have no problem. Make your money. Do what you want to do. But he's like in between the commercials wearing a Marlin hat. Like, you know, they're showing all the broadcasters, like, catch your Marlins on Bally Sports. And he's like pointing to the camera with his Marlins hat on, like, hey. A week later, he's in the fucking Yankees talking about, oh, 96 or 98. Well, we're with you. Fuck you. I'm not. Well, what's up with John Sterling? John Sterling's sick again, I guess.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, but he's missed some games. It was nice and refreshing. I had to, yesterday for the doubleheader, I had to do something. So I listened in the radio. I'm like, I got to listen to Old Man Sterling, and Justin Shackle was on it. It is so refreshing to hear a guy just call a game straight. A guy that can actually see the field and call the game in real time. I know. Here we go. You guys are all going to give me shit. Oh, but it's John Sterling. Oh, it's Papa John. He's 87 fucking years old. It's time, guys. Come on. How much better does it sound with Justin Shaq? He sounds like a professional broadcaster. I know what's going on in the game. I can follow along on the radio. Half the time when Sterling is calling the game, I got to wait for Susan to correct him or check my phone to see what the fuck just happened for real. Oh, my God. How many times do I got to go through this telling, please, can we please just let the man go? Let him go. It's like the presidential election. I got to choose between one decrepit old man or another decrepit old man. Come on. We don't got enough. And the guy's proven he's really good. He's really good at his voice. Listen, it's not John Sterling's voice. He's not going to sing a song when somebody hits a home run from a fucking show tune from the 50s. But that's okay. Just call the game. I'm okay. And if you want to keep Grandpa Joe around, or John, put him in the booth like I've said a million times. Let him do an inning. Let him just be in the background. Let him do all the home run calls. Let Justin call the game, and when they hit a home run, somebody wake him up, like you shake him. John, wake up. Stand, just hit a home run, sing. Oh, the, you fucking, it's awful. It's awful. A
text message. The bleachers.
I can't do it, man. It's too much. It's time. Somebody's got to make this decision, and I hate to say it, Susan's got to go too. Susan's much better than him. But it's time for her to go too. You want to put another girl in that role? Let's start fresh with a new team, a fresh new team. But you know that, let's say they win the championship this year. You give them both a ring and you retire them. But call it the John and Susan Booth. Put a little plaque behind it. Put Justin Shackle and put Meredith up there for all I care. I don't even care. It's awful. Dylan, why won't Yankee fans say this? You say this and I'm like an outcast when I say it. Oh, you can't say that about John Sterling. Yes, I can. I want to know what's going on in the game. Was that Susan? That was
it. It is how it is for. It is.
It's a 3-2.
I don't know.
Oh no. Who's playing third? No, John. No, John. No. Oh God.
The Cleveland Indians. No, John. The Guardians.
Oh Jesus. No, that was three outs, John. That was three outs. Oh, okay. Somebody wake John up. Fucking unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We still got segments you guys like and you guys miss. We got this day in MLB history. We got trivia questions. What's bothering Dylan? Up and in, mailbag, all that good stuff. We'll be back in a short. Hang tight. All right, gang, thanks for sticking around. We are back. Let's get to this date in MLB history. 1996, NL umpire John McSherry collapses and dies behind home plate 7 pitches into the season opener between the Cincinnati Reds and the Montreal Expos. McSherry, who weighed close to 400 pounds, had postponed a physical until after the opening. The Reds-Expos game was postponed till the next day. I don't remember this, Dylan. Do you? 1996. This fat bastard.
I was
bastard,
not even alive yet.
He dropped dead behind home plate. You know what else happened in 1996, though?
What?
It was a good year for the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. I thought something crazy like 9/11.
No. This fat bastard dropped dead right behind the plate. 400 pounds.
When did they hit the parking garage of the World Trade Center? What year was that?
I don't know. It's a good point. I'm not sure. You were thinking of history. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
It was, yes. The basement, the lower level.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to bring it down, Dylan. Thanks.
Sorry.
All right. Here we go. All right. Let's get to trivia, Dylan. This is where
the show picks up.
We give Dylan questions. He gets 5 multiple choice questions. He's got to get 3 out of 5 to get correct. He's 1-for-1 this year as far as this season. Last year he was very impressive. We changed it a little bit this year. They are all Yankee related questions because we had a lot. We ended up with a lot of last year, like. We had like a lot of Satchel Paige questions, a lot of like,
yeah,
you know, so we're gonna stick to Yankee questions this week, this year. So here we go. 5 questions for Dylan. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What Yankee was known as Rags? Rags was his nickname. Mm-hmm. Was it Joe Ragwood? Was it Dennis Rasmussen? Was it Dave Righetti? Was it Dan Pasqua? Great Dan Pasqua. I liked him. Once again, nickname Rags. Joe Ragwood? Dennis Rasmussen, Dave Righetti, or Dan Pasqua?
I think it's Righetti, but Rasmussen? That's a good one.
Rasmussen, I do remember. I've never heard of Joe Ragwood. He must be real, but like I said, Dan Pasqua. You were right. Dave Righetti is the correct answer. Good job. But I like Dan Pasqua, too. I remember that. I like when you can get an obscure Yankee that I haven't heard of in a while. So one for one. Here we go. All right, here we go, Dylan. Which Yankee led the American League in hitting during the strike-shortened season of 1994? Again, Dylan was not born, so this will be a guess. He led the American League in hitting. Was it Mike Stanley? Was it Paul O'Neill? Bernie Williams? Or the captain, Don Mattingly? Who led the league in 1994 in the strike-shortened season?
So it was a Yankee.
Well, they're all Yankees. Mike Stanley, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, or Don Mattingly? They're all Yankees. All those guys I just named were Yankees.
Yeah.
This would be a complete guess for you, I'm aware.
Complete guess. Now, here's my thinking process here.
Yes.
Those last three names are all...
O'Neill, like, Williams, and Mattingly?
Yeah, are all crazy.
Yes.
But it might be someone like Mike Stanley.
So you're thinking it might be like...
unknown. Like it sounds weird that they put three like well-known people and then Mike Stanley. Okay. So I'm going to go with Mike Stanley.
Mike Stanley's incorrect. It was the Warrior, Paul O'Neill, led the American League in hitting. So one for one here. Let's get rid of that. All right, here we go. What milestone did Alfonso Soriano reach in 2013? Okay, he reached a certain milestone. Sox Soriano, I like to call him. 500th stolen base, 300th home run, his 2000th career hit, or 3000th career hit? Which milestone did Alfonso Soriano reach in 2013? This would have been his second stint with the Yankees, I believe.
Yes, yes. Yes. I remember this stint.
Yes.
It was towards the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to say home run.
300th home run?
Yes.
That would be incorrect. His 2000th career hit he got with the Yankees in 2013. Dylan, now in the hole, one right, two wrong. Cannot get any more wrong. He's got to get two correct in a row to win this week. All right, here we go. What Yankee pitcher won the 2001 Cy Young Award? So this Yankee pitcher won the Cy Young Award. This one I think you should get by process of elimination. But was it Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, Mariano Rivera, or Mike Mussina?
2001
Cy Young Award winner. Clemens, well, Pettit, Mariano, or Mussina? I think you could rule out a couple of those quickly.
Well, it's not Mariano.
Okay, right, because he's never won a Cy Young.
A closer. Has a closer ever won a Cy Young?
I don't know. I'll look that up while you think, but.
All right. This is not Mo. I don't think the Andy Pettit ever had a Cy Young. Mike Mussina was good, but I don't know if he ever won a Cy Young with the Yankees. Maybe with the Orioles.
In 1992, Dennis Eckersley was the first reliever ever to win the Cy Young Award. Eric Gagne in 2003 also won it as a closer. So there's been two.
I'm going with Roger.
You are correct. The Rocket, Roger Clemens, which I still to this day, I don't know about you, I have a hard time considering him a Yankee. I know in some big games, but he'll always be a Red Sox to me. But all right, Dylan, two for two.
I got it. It all comes down to this one.
This is it. Much like in life, it comes down to this last one. Ooh. All right, this is kind of a trick, but I think you'll be able to figure it out if you think about it. Okay. What Yankee pitcher was the 15th in Major League history to throw a perfect game? Was it Mark Langston? Was it Boomer David Wells? Was it David Cohn? Or Don Larson? The 15th in Major League history to throw a perfect game. Now, out of those four, we know for sure three of them threw perfect games for the Yankees, right?
Yeah, I don't know about Mark Langston.
Right. So, so your basic question is who? We know it's not. I mean, let's roll the curtain back. We know it wasn't Don Larson. He did throw one, but it was so long ago. It definitely wasn't the 15th. The 15th. It really was. You're guessing Cone was it or Wells or Cohn threw
the two Davids?
Yes.
I don't know, man. This is tough.
Nobody said it would be easy.
I'm just going to go with David Wells because I like him better. Because he's, you know, a bigger guy. I have more respect for him.
You are correct. David Wells throws the first 15th major league, ekes out the win for Dylan. Very impressive, sir. Good for you. Update the standings here. Dylan gets 2 for 2 on the
2020
season. It was, came down to the wire, and that was a complete guess, correct?
Complete guess.
Complete guess. All right. All right. Well, Dylan, we're going to go to you now. This is where we turn the keys to the show over to you. We toss them to you, where you can vent and you can let the people know what's irritating, what's bothering you, what's up your butt, what's grinding your gears. It's the What's Bothering Dylan This Week segment. Dylan, take it away.
All right. So, as we all know, I'm in the police academy.
We don't know. I don't think we've ever said that, have we?
I think we've said
have we? Okay. Police,
something like that.
Something like that.
We haven't said where.
I was trying to be vague to protect your own protection. We don't want, you know, random. What is it? What was that one country that loves us? The Bahrain?
Yeah,
Bahrain. I don't want Bahrain people harassing you on the job, but yes, go ahead. Right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I might see them. But so I'm in the police academy. I won't say where. Okay. $1 million building. Right. They never have paper towels in the bathroom. It's the craziest thing to me.
Wait, right? do they have the air dryers?
They have the air dryers, but they're horrible. They're not like the nice ones. It's like they're from like the 80s. Like it just kind of like feels like someone's like lightly breathing on your hand.
A hot warm breath on your hands.
Not even hot. It's like cold. Like it's just so annoying. I like when we get ready for gym, I always have to pee, and then I always want to wash my hands, and then there's never I don't think there's ever been paper towels in the gym locker room since I've been there, and we're almost coming up on 6 months there. So it's just wild to me that every time I gotta use the bathroom, I can't use a paper towel. It's just nuts. And then people like dry their hands with toilet paper. It's disgusting because then it like disintegrates on your hand. Oh my God.
It never works. It never works. Just
give me paper towels, please. That's all I
ask. You would think in a multi-million-dollar business, which essentially the police academy is, you could spring for some paper towels, but you know,
it's insane.
Yeah. You can feel the passion in his voice, people. You can feel it.
The urinals are all right. I haven't had a bad.
I was surprised. That was going to be the next question because we know you're a urinal aficionado.
Yeah. No, they're all good.
They're okay.
Good size dividers.
Are there any random splash mats on the bottom?
No.
Rubber mats or anything? Okay. Just piss on the floor like usual.
Piss on the floor. That's normal. A given. You can go to a fancy place and they're still pissing on the floor. Like it's not the place, it's the people using the bathroom. That's what it comes down to.
And that's it. That's what's bothering Dylan this week about the police academy. He will be protecting and serving you and me very soon
as long as you're in his area.
As long as you get paper towels and dividers between the urinals.
I'll be a happy man.
I have a baseball story, Dylan. I went to my first minor league game of the year, brought the kids.
Sent you a video.
I'm sure. We're sitting in the outfield. I prefer to sit in the outfield, even though there's nobody there, just because I like that perspective watching the game, even though here I am in South Florida. It is very hot, and the shade doesn't usually kick in until the third inning. So my poor kids are sitting out there roasting, and I keep telling them, don't worry, it's going to get better inning three. Lift the curtain back a little bit. I took my two youngest kids, who are 7 and 10. One's about to be 8. And they were very excited. Wow. First game of the year. They're pumped up. That lasted about 2 innings until they got bored stiff. Until I was smart enough to bring their cell phones with them so that they could just mess with their phones. But I will say this, home run ball. It was the Tampa. I go see the Tampa Tarpons whenever they're in town, watch the baby Yankees. Not necessarily. I'll go to regular games too, just to go. But this happened to be their home opener of the Fort Myers Mighty Muscle. Worst mascot in the history of it's awful. It's a big muscle. It's terrible. Anyway. But a home run ball hit to right center field, right over my head. I did not bring my glove. My mistake, I usually do bring my glove. It would have been an easy catch. Instead, tried to catch the ball with my hat. Did not work, knocked my hat off of my hands and fell right behind us. But you would think that would excite my children and get them pumped up for a game because a bunch of kids came running over afterwards. They were on TV, the local broadcast. No, my kids could care less. They were like, when's the fireworks? That's all they wanted, fireworks for the end of the game. So I got to say, it's been very tough transitioning the younger generation to continue to love for baseball. So that's my little baseball story for the week. But Dylan, I do have breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. As of last season, we had hit the 33 country number mark for listens for our podcast.
Oh, we got another one?
I'm going to say we have a 34th.
Wow.
And I don't know how to particularly say this. It is the Hashemite Kingdom.
We have a kingdom listening.
We have a kingdom. Hashemite Kingdom. Why don't you look that up? You look that up while we're talking. Hashemite Kingdom. Hashemite Kingdom. To join us, their 34th country that has joined the Rich Corey Yang's podcast. It's a movement now, Dylan.
Okay.
34 countries deep.
So do you want to hear?
Yes, let's hear about this. The Hashemite Kingdom, yes.
So what I'm getting is it's a royal family in Jordan.
Nice.
So it's kind of by Israel is what I'm seeing.
Big in the news right now.
Big in the news.
Big in the news.
Hashemite Kingdom.
Hashemite Kingdom, yes.
Arabia.
Nice. We are very big in the Middle East for some reason. Nepal, Iran, Kuwait, Lebanon. We are big. I mean, listen, we're big. I'm going to go over the list here just because it's. I don't think we've done it in season five, but United States, Netherlands, Germany, United Kingdom, Puerto Rico, Canada, Ireland, India, Nigeria, Singapore, Vietnam, Brazil, Malaysia, Poland, Morocco, Australia, France, Saudi Arabia, Belgium, Japan, Austria, China, Indonesia, Taiwan, Norway, the Bahrain, Switzerland, New Zealand, Lebanon, Italy, Kuwait, Iran, Hashemite Kingdom, and Nepal. We are rolling. The Rich Corey Yanks podcast is truly international and worldwide. So welcome to the Hashemite Kingdom, joining the Rich Corey Yanks podcast movement. We appreciate it. It's pretty cool, guys. Thank you. And we are over. We're closing in on 60,000 listens. So very cool.
They have a population of 11 million.
11 million. There you go. That's not nothing, Dylan. That's not nothing. It's impressive. I'm happy. Let's do it. All right. Let's get to the mailbag questions here.
And they drive on the right side of the road. That's good to know, too.
Goddamn right they do. You're goddamn right they do. The Yankee fans, they drive on the right side of the road. All right. Joe from Saddle River, New Jersey. Hey, guys. I was wondering if you think the hot start can continue if the Yankees don't get Cole back from his injury and it ends up being more serious. So, Joe from Saddle River, thanks for your question. If you guys want to reach out to the show, it's richcoreyanks@gmail.com. All the socials, blah, 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 blah. richcoreyanks@gmail.com, the easiest way to get a question in. But, Dylan, this Joe wants to know, can the Yankees continue? What if Cole doesn't come back? What if it's more serious and say he's out for the year? Can the Yankees continue and be a playoff team?
I do think that they can continue being a playoff team as they've shown so far in the season. I think it can continue. But I also do think trade deadline, if Cole's out for the year, we're going to need a number one starter. Just for playoff reasons, I don't see any of our guys being like a solid number one. As of now.
Yeah, that was going to be my point exactly. And Joe, thank you for the question. Was if Cole's not going to be back, they will absolutely make a move on another pitcher before the trade deadline comes. If they get word that Cole's not going to be back, because we've said this time and time again, you need three starters in the playoffs. That's what you need. You don't need four. You don't need five. You need 10 to get you through the year, but you need three in the playoffs. That's all you really need. You can get by with three good starters and then mediocre four. So yeah, they'll definitely make, if they're in playoff and they're hot and they're rolling like they are now, or if they're in first place, they're absolutely going to go get somebody via trade or something like that. The other thing I wanted to put off the topic was a little bit, Dominguez apparently is doing very well too, the Martian. And he's due back, you know, close to the All-Star break as well. So that could be an interesting caveat, adding him to that Verdugo Judge Soto outfield. I don't know if they would. I would assume they'd bring him right back up, but I don't. What do you do? Do you make him the fourth outfielder? Do you make him? You want him to get reps? Yeah, you want him. You want him to play. Maybe if the Yankees are rolling, they don't bring him back up. Maybe they put him in AAA and let him get his reps there until they need him.
Yeah, that's another reason why I don't see them re-signing Juan Soto again next year.
I said this just like you in the beginning. I think this is a 1-year deal. I think he's going to just want way too much money. I think he's going to win $800 million or whatever it's going to be. But again, he's turning me more and more. Like, I knew he was a great player. I knew he was going to put up good numbers. It's the intangible stuff that I'm really learning to appreciate from him. And who knows, maybe, I don't know.
He does like playing.
He does, but again, so. I think he likes playing anywhere. I mean, this is a guy who turned down how much from the Nationals? Didn't he turn down $200 million before $200 million was really a thing from the Nationals? He's like, no, I'm good. So, you know, but then again, with Boris has been having some problems. Montgomery just let him go. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he gets won over by the city and, you know, he sees what winning is like. He has that parade down the Canyon of Heroes and he's like, this is what it's supposed to be like. The Yankees can pay him, but the Yankees have shown that there is a limit. You know what I mean? So he's 25 though, man. If you're going to give that money to somebody, why not give it to him? He's 25 only. You know, if you give him a 10-year deal, he's only 35.
We're going to have, you're going to have three outfielders with $1 million deals.
Let's be honest though. I mean, you would probably have to give him like a 12-year deal to make the money work. So you'd get him until he's 37, which is still not crazy. But you figure you'd have Judge, him, and then you have Dominguez. You'd have your outfield set for the decade.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not going to re-sign Verdugo. He's going to go.
Yeah.
Although I like his spunk. He's been okay. All right. Let's get to his chain looks ridiculous. It's stupid. Anyway, it just maybe because I've been watching Yankee games for too long and I'm used to like uniforms and stuff, but he looks ridiculous. All right, here we go. The up and in. This is the segment where we like to feature a comment from somebody who's not crazy about what we're doing. This is Thomas from New York, and he says, can you two jerk-offs talk more about urinals and wrestling? Because that's the quality of entertainment I love from a baseball podcast. So Thomas from New York, not crazy that we talk a lot about urinals or about wrestling. Actually, Dylan was at WrestleMania, and we didn't mention it once here on the show, fucking Thomas. So
bad urinals at WrestleMania. There
bad was. Urinals, yeah.
Bad urinals, bad experience.
And that's a new stadium, right?
Yeah.
So Brandon's, well, I feel like
football stadiums are just not good for bathrooms. That's the assumption I've come up with.
I think they're just so big. Now you remember, you're talking about a football stadium is generally like 70,000-80,000 people versus a baseball stadium, which is at the most 40 or something like that. So you're doubling the size of the amount of urine that it has to be processed. Yeah. So maybe they have to go a little bit more industrial just to get it done. Listen, it's not a urinal trough. And I'll say this again, guys. I was there. If you were in the old Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee
with
Stadium.
With the ice.
Urinal troughs with ice in it. Why is there ice in it? We've come a long way since urinal troughs, okay? Anyway, Thomas, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. But just so you know that we had a perfect opportunity to plug some wrestling into the show, and we did not do it because one of the hosts was actually at WrestleMania, you fucknut, and we didn't say anything about it, so... Although I guess we did kind of talk about urinals briefly. So urinals, I mean, listen, it's the official theme of the podcast besides the Yankees is urinals on this show.
It's an interesting topic of discussion.
You're just going to have to deal with it. That's it.
We all have to use them.
Everybody.
There's no one that...
Women don't use urinals. They use toilets.
But what's our listener demographic?
Well, I can tell you right now, sir.
Mainly men. But I will... Here, I'll go into the urinals at WrestleMania while you're looking that up.
Go ahead. Right.
Not only were there no dividers, but it felt like all of them were for kids.
So they were the low ones.
They were very low cut ones. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like that really. So, but what was good is we sat all the way up top.
Yes.
The bathrooms up top were all stalls.
Oh, okay.
Which,
there you go.
That was weird.
That is strange.
It worked. The doors didn't close all the way, but
you got to drop a douche. You got to go upstairs.
Yeah.
98% male, 2% female. Hey. I don't know how there's two other percents, but we're 1% non-binary and 1% non-Pacific, but that would make it 102%. So that doesn't really make sense. But anyway, 2% women. So 2% of the ladies out there. So that's fine. Anyway, all right, listen, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Rich Cranks Podcast. The Yanks are rolling. They're on fire as we speak, getting ready to hopefully sweep a series against the tough Cleveland Guardians team, who actually had a good offense coming into this series. So very impressive. We take a doubleheader. Not easy to do, to take two back-to-back in a doubleheader. I don't care who you're playing. Usually it's a split. So to take two is great. Everything's going great. My fingers are so crossed. Again, I'm still cautiously optimistic. Again, Dylan, finish up his police training. So it's going to be, you know, on one, off two, whatever
it's going to be. Interesting schedule.
He's going to be on when he can be on. He'll let me know. But if not, we'll continue to pump out episodes with Solo, with just me. We'll give you what you need. We're going to keep the, what's the country? Tell him, damn it, I cleared it.
The Heshamite Kingdom.
The Heshamite Kingdom. We're going to keep giving you that quality urinal and WWE Yankee entertainment that you enjoy. So from me, for Dylan.
There's probably some sheiks in the Heshamite
Kingdom. Some sheiks. We appreciate you listening to the Rich Core Yanks podcast with Rich and Dill. We will see you next time. Go Yanks.
Takeover Show. I'm Meredith Barakas with a very special guest. I think you're going to know who this man is. Nick Swisher, the newest member of our Yes Network crew. Oh, yeah. 12 years in the league, 4 with the New York Yankees. I have to imagine it always feels good to come back here.
Man, it was funny. I was driving in this morning. I was right there coming across the bridge. And when you see the cathedral, you see Yankee Stadium, you know you're home. And so for me, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so back being here with you, working today, having the best time ever. Super stoked to be here.
Well, we have batting practice going right now, and we have some guys that have been swinging the bat very well. This offense as a whole over the last 3 games has been outstanding. Nick, what stood out to you?
I tell you what, he's standing right next to us, and Anthony Volpe has really kind of shot off the charts to me today. The fact that he had the struggles that he did last year, he couldn't catch up to the fastball up top, mm-hmm. couldn't get to the slider down and away, was swinging at pitches all out of the zone. He has adjusted all of that. You saw it in spring training. We're seeing it now. 417 batting average, leading the league in batting average right now. Could not be more happy the strides he's taking. He's hitting a little lower in the lineup, which I think is absolutely perfect for him. He's going to be a 40 stolen base guy. If he continues to get on base the way he is right now, it could be 50 or 60. Who knows?
Hey, and he won a gold glove last year, but you look at some of the defensive plays last night. Stellar in the field as well. And you mentioned the stolen bases. Early last year when he was getting on base, he was running quite a bit, and then that kind of tapered off. When he continues to get on, he's going to be fun to watch, and that's just a whole new wrinkle for this Yankees offense.
100%, but I also think bringing over somebody like the chosen one, Juan Soto, being able to have him in our lineup, or in the Yankees lineup, has really created diversity from top to bottom. And I think for me, that's exactly what you would want as a manager. Looking at it from a manager's perspective, the fact that we have diversity from top to bottom, we've got left-right matchups, we've got speed at the bottom, John Birdie coming over, 41 stolen bases for the Miami Marlins a couple years ago. The fact that he bunted yesterday with runners on first and second.
We have not seen that a lot.
We haven't seen that in a minute. So I think for me, there's an air and a joy about this team that we haven't seen in a minute, and it's great to be back.
It does definitely feel like a little bit of a different vibe. Of course, it's easy to feel different when they're getting off to this type of a start. But you mentioned Juan Soto, and you look at his at-bats, the way he works counts, sees pitches. Do you feel like that's contagious within other guys of the offense?
150%. You could not have hit the nail on the head more. If you think about it, more than what he does on the field for the New York Yankees, I think, is what he's been able to do off the field, in the locker room. The overall, the way these young players like Oswaldo Cabrera looks up to him, and he says, I've watched him from the moment he showed up in spring training, and if you don't think that Juan Soto has had a little bit to do with the start that Oswaldo has had,
no doubt.
I think it's absolutely perfect. He's doing exactly what he needs to do. His strike zone discipline is off the charts. Getting on base at a 500 clip has been absolutely amazing to see, and it's finally awesome to see him on the Yankee side.
You know what? Anthony Volpe has mentioned that too, and what's wild to me is when you think of Juan Soto, you feel like he's been in the league forever, but really 25 years old and he's doing the things he's doing. Now, I know you've patrolled right field out there for a very long time as a Yankee, 280 games, including the postseason. You used to receive a lot of love, but what do you think of the love that Juan Soto is getting out there from Yankees fans?
Let me tell you, I'm a little jealous. I really am. I mean, the fact that I was able to be part of all this, the fact that I was able to be part of the Bleacher Creatures, the fact that I have a relationship with them that I was able to do. So when Juan Soto runs out to right field, I know exactly what he's feeling. There is a feeling of warmth. There is a welcomeness that comes with the Bleacher Creatures. And if you establish a relationship with them, just like they said in New York, if the fans fall in love with you, you'll never leave. And it seems like that's exactly what's happening with Juan Soto right now.
Now, we saw him do something yesterday. Nestor was working incredibly quick, got ready incredibly quick, and he actually signed an autograph right before Nestor threw a pitch. And Aaron Boone said it today. He's done a great job of really that fine line, the balancing act of having fun between the lines, but also making sure you're prepared, you're putting in the work. Could you ever imagine doing something like that?
Maybe. You know me, I can push the envelope just a little bit. But I think just in general, I'm going to take it even a step further than what you're talking about. Maybe signing an autograph during the game might not be the best thing. But the fact he's wearing his hat on backwards in the post-game interview is like, there's just a fun,
it's fun about that.
And it's right. I mean, you've been here for what? This is your 13th year, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
Right? And so, like, you've seen the ups and the downs of this organization. And last year, you were here for all 162 games. You saw how this team, it was. There was a lot of guys that were pressing. There were a lot of guys that were trying to do things that they weren't capable of doing. Now it seems like everybody's fallen into line. Everybody knows exactly what they're capable of doing, and there's a familiarity with that. When you show up to the ballpark and you know every day Glaber's leading off and Juan's hitting two and the captain's hitting three, what I like is that Booney's kind of mixing and matching with the Rizzo, Stanton in the four hole right now, which has been amazing. Alex Verdugo has been absolutely fantastic for us so far. And the starting pitching, getting eight innings out of Nasty Nestor last night was huge, especially for the bullpen.
Hey, you mentioned Rizzo and Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton seems re-energized over the last couple of days. We just heard from him on the desk a little while ago. What have you thought of Stanton?
I tell you what, one thing that I can honestly say to you was the first day that he walked into that locker room. And when everybody saw the work that he had put in physically on his body to get him ready for this 2024 season, we're talking shed 30 pounds. Yep. And for a guy that has made the money that he's made, the accolades that he has an MVP to his name, all-star, but he's still working. And if it means that much to him, everybody in that locker room paid attention because they know if it means that much to him, it should mean that much to everybody else as well.
Well, it's going to be Carlos Rodon on the mound. Giancarlo Stanton is the cleanup hitter today, and all the usual suspects for the most part are in that lineup. But that is going to do it for Nick and myself at the cage. But don't you worry, we have plenty more BP Takeover coming your way after the break. And now I'm joined by Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo, another two hits last night. You've been swinging the bat well, punishing the baseball a little bit. How good do you feel when you step into the batter's box?
Yeah, it's a good feeling to be able to square some up and, you know, put us in a good spot. Hopefully, we usually have traffic on base, so keep the line moving.
Hey, you mentioned that traffic. It seems like 1 through 9 guys are seeing pitches. They're contributing. How much pressure does that take off of each individual when you know there are multiple guys in the lineup that can get the job done?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be our best selves every night, and that's why we know we got 8 others in the lineup that night to pick us up and have good at bats, and you know, you feed off of that. So, you know, if you have 2 bad ones, you get to finish off with 2-3 good ones.
Look, you guys are 9-2 to start the season. It's been an unbelievable start. How much fun are you guys having out there?
It's great. It's great. We're having fun. We're getting down to business. We know what we need to do each night, and you know, we secure that, and you know, have fun in between.
What do you think has allowed this team to come together and kind of gel so quickly?
Just a common goal. I think, you know, there hasn't been selfish at-bats, there hasn't been selfish mentality, you know, that's contagious. That's understood, and that's, you know, the motto right now.
You look at Juan Soto, he's certainly getting some love from Yankees fans, but I imagine even as a guy that's watching him and watching his at-bats, it has to be impressive.
Yeah, I mean, watching his bats, his at-bats when we used to play him every so often, you know, it's cool to see, but we don't want him to do too much. But now it's cool to see, and we want him to do everything. So it's been awesome. He's an incredible player. He just brings fire and energy, and, you know, it's great to have him.
I imagine it's one of those guys, hey, he's on our side now. We're glad he's on our side. Yeah. Hey, I have to talk hitting meeting. Now, you guys were going into a hitting meeting today, and it looked like Club Yankee in there. Was there a smoke machine? There was definitely music.
We need a smoke
machine
now.
What was going on in there?
We got to keep the vibes right, you know. We play a good song, some good music to open it, and, you know, reflect on the at-bats before or what we got to do tonight, and just be loose with it, but know we got business to take care of.
Serious at the same time, you know, having
smile,
a little...
Smile, don't.
Yeah. What is your preparation in particular look like as the DH on a daily basis?
Just make sure I'm ready. If I'm going to hit out on the field, do my prep work. Otherwise, I can hit the machine inside and just get ready for my game plan for whoever's pitching that night.
Now, you're playing against a team in the Marlins that you spent your first 8 seasons. Not a lot of familiar faces over there anymore, but you did spend 8 seasons with the Marlins. What stands out to you about your time in Miami.
Not a lot of familiar faces or jersey. You know,
yeah, right?
It's like a completely different org. But yeah, it's a young, talented group. You know, they have a great pitching staff. That's unfortunately a lot of them hurt for them, not for us. But yeah, I think they got a bright future. They just need to put it together and be able to bounce back from times like they're having now and understand that it'll be good for them in the future.
How different is Giancarlo now than Giancarlo, a name change, but Giancarlo when he came up with the Marlins?
I mean, you forever evolve, so it's a beautiful game that you got to develop and adapt and, you know, figure out how to continue to be successful. So, yeah, I'm very different from that young kid, but still always things to learn.
What do you think is the biggest area of growth since then?
The mindset, probably. I mean, someday when you're 20, 21, 23, you can just roll out of bed some days and things will come. You know, you just get warmed up and it's a little different. But, you know, there's going to be some days where you don't feel great getting out of bed. So, yeah, it's the mindset. It's how do you win each day? How do you win the algorithm of the day?
I feel you. That goes for reporters and broadcasters,
everybody,
too. Everyone's getting a little older every day. You know what I mean? How do you hype yourself up for a big at-bat?
How do I hype myself up? By calming myself down. It's how do you bring down the moment? Understand it's me and him, a goal to achieve, and don't let distractions creep in.
Well, you certainly got a hold of one the other day. Grand Slam, seventh as a New York Yankee. When you hit a ball like that, can you just explain to people what it feels like who will never have that feeling in their life?
When you barrel one like that, it doesn't feel like you hit much specifically on the bat. It's just like a smooth, almost simulation action. And luckily, if they go far enough, you can watch it for a little bit and enjoy it.
Well, I think a lot of fans enjoyed that one. They're hoping a lot more are to come this season. Hey, the other day it was interesting. The eclipse was happening. A lot of guys out here to watch the eclipse. Did you see the eclipse at all?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Now, who in that Yankees clubhouse is most likely to come out here without the glasses?
I would say Tommy, but he's not here, of course.
You know what? Somebody else said
Tommy,
that, too.
Yeah, I would stick with Tommy. But it was pretty cool. A lot of us were in the bullpen, some in the dugout. It was cool.
I feel like I'm going to get you in trouble now. Yankee most likely to be just a little bit late for the bus or for stretch.
Ooh. I think I've seen you late to a few buses.
What? No.
I'm going to say Meredith.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go with Meredith on that one.
I don't believe it. I will not subscribe to that. And if you were not playing baseball, what do you think you'd be doing?
Watching eclipses all over the world.
Watching eclipses. Well, you know, those aren't coming around for another 20 years, and I know you have a game to prepare
for. That's right.
So we are going to let you go. Now, there were some crazy renovations in the Yankees clubhouse this year, and we are going to get to that next with an all-new Mayor on the Move. The Pinstripe Diner is there. Giancarlo, what do you order before a game?
A smoothie. Fruit smoothie with some protein. Get ready to go.
Super healthy. I like it. Giancarlo, thanks for the time.
I fall for curveball. I want to bring heat. Shake off. How much room? God damn it.
I'm out.
Hey! Why are you shaking me off? Huh?
I want to bring the heater to announce my presence with authority.
To announce your what?
Announce my presence with authority.
To announce your fucking presence with authority? This guy's a first ball fastball hitter. He's looking for heat.
Oh, yeah? So what? He ain't seen Mikey.
All right, me. Give him your heat.
Why is he always calling me? I'm the guy driving a Porsche.
Fastball.
Hold on, boy. Hold on. Take time. I give you a gift to stand in front of my picture. Come on, dummy!
Yeah, and he scrambled the son of a bitch. Look at that. He hit the fucking bull. That gets a free steak.
Oh, yeah.
Blast. Good.
And sucker teed off on that like he knew I was going to throw a fastball.
He did know.
Wow.
I told him.
Don't think, just throw. Don't think, just throw. Thank you.